Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 25th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Jared Jones has officially made the Pittsburgh Pirates starting rotation. He is SP4. Yes, we are picking him up, and I know there are so many guys at the end of your 12-teamer now. I just had a live stream. I'm actually still doing it on playback.tv/PitcherList, as I do it every single morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and I had so many questions about Luis Gil, Jared Jones, Casey Mize, Jack Flaherty, DL Hall, AJ Puck, etc., etc. The correct answer is go with your gut. There are going to be so many of these guys that we want to go after. I'm really a big fan of Luis Gil. I think he's a little bit better than Jared Jones. That is, it's an amazing four-seamer like Jared Jones, but also two secondary pitches as opposed to just one with Jones, and just a little bit tighter command as far as north-south goes versus east-west, and also a better team context with the Yankees versus Jones on the Pirates. There's a lot of other conversation to be had with it. I will be updating my list on this stream right after I record this podcast for a moment, and then I have the OTC podcast that will be talking about that list, but I will not have it out until the site tomorrow, as I will be writing on my notes, taking the time for that tomorrow. Also, one more day's worth of games so that I can lock it in before the start of the year. Really 2 days of games, because I'm going to be taking some of the stuff from tomorrow and making sure I'm not making any last edits. But, all right, other news. You have Clayton Beter also making the Yankees roster. He's likely going to be piggybacking, or at least the backup plan if Heel isn't very efficient against the Diamondbacks. But he's the next one up, and then it's Will Warren, I imagine, after that. Eric Fede took a comebacker to the quad, but he's going to be okay to start on Sunday for the White Sox. Michael Wacha took a comebacker to his right hand's middle finger. He's getting precautionary x-rays. He should be fine, but keep in mind, I mean, he throws changeups, and that middle finger is very important for it, so I do wonder if that's going to be okay. Hayden Wesneski was optioned to AAA. It looks like Drew Smyly is going to be the backup to Javier Assad. I didn't recommend you guys do that anyway, but now you know, and don't do it. And definitely don't do it with Drew Smyly. Okay. Games are on TV yesterday and on StatCast. Grayson Rodriguez, 3 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. I'm not so sold on Grayson's command yet. He's not surgically utilizing all of his pitches and throwing with intent and with a purpose every time, right? Like, okay, cool, I'm going to go over here with this pitch and over there with that one. And yes, pitchers do that and they still miss, but it feels as if they're close to it as opposed to Grayson, who just isn't often. And it bothers me a little bit as like an SP2, right? That's the biggest concern. Like, I give slack to the guys who are in my 50s, but I'm putting you in my top 25, you better be a little bit better than that. So I still have hesitation there. However, I do recognize sophomore year, and he's going to get better as the season goes on. Adley Rutschman behind the plate is only going to help him. The whole team context is just good for Grayson. And he's an extension boy. That is, he is really good extension, throws hard. It's going to help him and make better margin for errors along the way. So fine. I'm still in on Grayson Rodriguez. It's just not as hype for me as I want it to be. Cole Irvin wasn't very good, though. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 1 strikeout. And there's a part of me that says, Orioles, just make it like Chase McDermott or Albert Suarez or Justin Armbruster, there, just someone else instead of Cole Irvin, because he's only at 93 now, not like the 95 that we saw earlier in the spring. This command isn't very good. Tyler Wells is the guy you want for the Orioles' back end. Joe Ryan, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. It wasn't the best commanded game for him. I'm a little annoyed also to only see 4 sinkers, and I want that to be a little bit more involved. I know it's kind of crazy. I'm like, sinker, sinker, sinker. But I want him to actually be using that inside of right-handers. Look at like Brian Wu and how he would do that. So I'm excited about Joe Ryan. I'm just like, I just want to see that pitch separation and really get that slider down with that splitter. Chris Bassett, 5 innings, 2 earned runs. He's fine. Velocity was actually slightly up now. See, all the worries that we had, he's just an old veteran. He's a veteran who was smart about saving his bullets in the spring. Aaron Nola, I hope that's the case. He was a tick down at 90-91. He went 5.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. But guess what he did? He elevated his 4-seamer. He actually did this a lot. Like half of them were upstairs. Now, they were a little too much out of the zone, but he did this. And it looks like this is what he's trying to do now. That's great. You have such a flat arm angle, Aaron Nola. You should be doing that. Oh, that's exciting. So I really hope that's what we see from Nolan. He should get better at it as he does it more. But that's cool. Make that the game plan and then go inside with sinkers to right-handers and then also backdoor with it. It's fine. Oh, that'd be really cool. Okay, just don't leave your sinker over the plate. Great. Awesome. Marcus Stroman, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He's Marcus Stroman. He practices splitter a good amount in this one. That's cool. We move on. Martin Perez is actually looking like a command guy. 3 innings of 0 runs. And he has a stream against the Marlins. Yeah, he looks like the Vargas rule. So you might want to do that. Deep league. I have him in guillotine league. I think that's going to be a good start against the Marlins. Just very sneaky. Not Patrick Corbin, though. 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. Only 7 cutters. I want the cutter to be like 25 thrown a game. You know, I want that to be a major thing that you throw more than your sinker, because sinker's for lefties and cutter and slider for righties. But no, just 7. We move on. Luis Severino, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. A lot of people have been in on Severino, and I understand the philosophy of it. And maybe this is a flaw in my process, because I'm seeing nothing really different from Severino. And I saw last year, and I was like, oh man, your 4-seamer is just a lot worse. You have less IVB on it. You are not getting as much extension. You are just worse with this 4-seamer. And your secondaries are not getting whiffs anymore. So here we are. We have Severino actually locating upstairs very well with his 4-seamer. Led to 10 for 38 whiffs on the 4-seamer. Great. It was also a really bad Nationals lineup. And he also isn't having that elite IVB anymore. Meanwhile, the secondaries went over 23 whiffs. Cutters, sliders, changeups. Oh boy. So I'm still kind of out. Now, where Severino is going like 250? Something like that? I guess that's okay to take a chance, right? I'm not necessarily against it. It's just, I really don't think it's going to work. And I'm just not buying that as much as other ones that are at least more revealing. But then again, like Severino is going like 6 innings, you know? It's an interesting balance here. If you want to chase Severino, I don't blame you whatsoever. I'm just not doing it myself. Griffin Canning, 4.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. He didn't throw 4-seamers in the zone. It was just like only his secondaries in the zone. And so that leads to the 8 strikeouts, also leads to 4 earned runs, because those can be very hittable. Now, 5 base runners for 4 earned runs showcases that it was just kind of bad timing, all that kind of stuff. I'm just generally not into Canning because I don't like that fastball. And the secondaries do get hit in the zone. And it's also the Angels, and you don't really want to lean on the Angels during your drafts and in season, because they just don't, A, they're not going to give you wins, and B, the coaching staff isn't going to help them in season. Not a fan of it. And Bobby Miller. Bobby Miller is dope. It makes us feel dope. And he's actually throwing 4-seamers upstairs now. I wish he were throwing his slider down and away more. That's the next step. But the fact that his 4-seamers upstairs is just so, so, so good. I'm a huge fan of that. It's something he didn't do last year. The Dodgers were all about low 4-seamers. Now he's throwing upstairs. And I feel like this is one of the major steps for Bobby Miller. Huge fan of it. 5 strikeouts in 4.2 innings. Good to see. Once that slider and cutter click, as opposed to turning to just curveballs and changeups, then you're going to see absurd 30% strikeout Bobby Miller. I'm telling you, it's coming and it's going to be great. All right, we have other games to talk about, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The Giants played their minor league squad, and we had these two prospect pitchers go, Mason Black and Carson Seymour. Nothing to really report right now. There's a chance that Mason Black was going to make the rotation. It was 5 walks here, 3.2 innings, as he was demoted to AAA. At some point, they will arrive, and we can just kind of look at these sinker slider guys when they do. Hopefully, they have a really good changeup by that time. Zach Littell went 3.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Sliders were really upstairs in this one, and that's kind of something we saw last year, where he wasn't getting that pitch separation on his four-seamer and his slider, and thus Zach Littell was not the consistent arm that we want. So he gets the Jays and inside of Coors to begin the year. So Zach Littell, not really my favorite, but I think in 12-teamers, you will see him rostered constantly this season, and maybe he is actually someone that does develop into a solid Rays arm throughout the year. So don't rule him out for your drafts. I just find that there are so many other exciting things at the moment that Littell isn't the one I want to focus on right now. Jack Flaherty, though, is rising up my list. He's looking just so good right now. 4.2 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. I love 2 things about this. One, that Flaherty's four-seamer is looking fantastic inside the zone. It's more elevated. He is somewhat flat, so he can take advantage of that. And also that 94 mile per hour velocity with up to 96 is really nice. I think there are a couple that were graded under 90 miles per hour for Flaherty that made it weird, but he's 94, and that's better than the 92, 93 we've seen. The other thing I like is his slider domination. It's something we've seen throughout the spring. He's really getting a good feel for that pitch low and also glove side a ton. I mean, he really did it well here. He did it well in the previous start as well. And on the Tigers, he's going to go 6 innings now. He's throwing a ton of strikes. He's not being wild outside of it. It looks like Jack Flaherty is in a very good groove right now, and I'm thrusting him up my draft board to about 40, SP 40 all of a sudden. I know I did it in on Thursday. I moved him up a ton, but now I'm really seeing this guy that can actually be that, and that's awesome. Between him and Casey Mize, I go back and forth on it. I do think that Casey Mize's four-seamer is better. I do think that Flaherty's in this really good spot right now, though. So I'm a little undecided. I say get them both. How about that? Okay, cool. Tyler McGill, 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, but 7 strikeouts. And you think, oh, cool, the American Spork showed up. The four-seamer was dominant. Nah, not really, neither one. Four-seamer was a little bit better. 95, good, not 94. The American Spork, that is his forkball. Really, he's doing it based on the ghost fork of Senga. But the splitter went 3 for 14 whiffs, which is good. That's over a 20%, actually, swing strike rate. Just not that dependable. 11 of those 14 were not whiffs, right? And the slider was good. Like, it was a harder, tighter one, and that's helping him out, and that's really the major thing. But I just need to see McGill dominate with four-seamers more, and he's just not really doing that. And I just think it's too pedestrian for me to go and chase. The 7 strikeouts to me are not that real. Eric Fetty, we finally got some data. And oh boy. So 5 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. And what I've learned is this. He is a cutter splitter guy to lefties, really good at getting that cutter up and in, and then the splitter is down and away. And really good command of that splitter. Not usual to see that, but it does look like, yeah, this is what you are going to do. I hope that that splitter does stick around. To righties, it's cutters down, not up, but down glove side, and a sweeper as well, which is also, I'm a big fan of both of those. The only thing is that there's a sinker also involved. The sinker is front hip to lefties, which I'm okay with. He actually has above average command. Like, he has actually, like, on the scale of 1 to 5, being 1 being the best command in the majors and 5 being Joe Boyle, Eric Fetty's easily a 2, right? Great. And I trust that sinker against lefties, but against righties, he's not really jamming it inside. He's kind of staying down and away still. So, not a huge fan of that one. And I wish I saw more velocity. It's 93-94 as opposed to like 95-ish, but it was 92 before, and it was a worse sinker before. And not to mention that he's really leaned away from the sinker is a great thing. And the cutter, sweeper, split is a much better approach for Eric Fetty. I can trust him going 6 innings really constantly for the White Sox. If you're in a quality start league and not a win league, then Fede is someone that you should be circling as, hey, this could be a very consistent Toby here. Same with Michael Soroka. Keep that in mind. Austin Gomber. Okay. Lance Lynn, 4.1 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. He's Lance Lynn, and he's probably going to get worse this year, so don't do it. Hunter Brown, 4.1 innings of 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. I don't have data, and I'm hoping that he's going low with his breaking balls because his four-seamer actually profiles out pretty well to be upstairs. So if he is actually commanding all three breakers, that is a cutter and slider differentiation, which he has now, which I like, then this can be real. And I might be undervaluing Hunter Brown. He's been very much of a cherry bomb, but there is absolutely a chance for Hunter Brown to get locked in and actually fine tune his secondaries down, because his four seamers have always been up, and it's not, that has never really been the problem. It's Houston, and Houston makes two things happen. One, generally you do get more consistent with Houston. They do have a good job of tweaking. And the second thing, the team context, wins and good defense. And Hunter Brown is gonna steal a ton of wins, I think. 5 and 6 innings. So constantly. I kind of dig Hunter Brown, but then I don't, because is he gonna get those sliders down or not? And the curveball down. I go back and forth on it. I'm leaning in favor. I feel like I've been against it too much. But maybe I'm just being biased by this one good outing. I don't know. It's tough. Max Fried, 3 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 1K. I'm not going to be biased by this outing. He's healthy, and that's all that matters with Max Fried. You're healthy? Great. Cutter Crawford, 5.2 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. I've been steering away from Crawford a little because I've been wondering if the elite IVB of the four-seamer is enough. It's bad extension. It's 93 on the fastball, 93-94, and it's slightly more flat than usual. So it's like, okay, it should be better upstairs than general, but like really it's neutral. So it's just the IVB, right? Which actually speaks to low called strikes and whiffs up top. And then there's the whole arsenal of the cutter and the slider and the curve, and it generally should be good, but it's not as electric as others. He hasn't gone a full season yet, and it's also Fenway. And I feel like I've pushed him above some other ones. I'm going to have him under Flaherty. I'm going to have him under Mize, I think. Those guys are just more polished and fine-tuned, I think, than Cutter Crawford is. So I've been a little too high on him. I think the ICR rates from last year were good, but I don't know how much those are going to stick. I'm still in on Crawford. I still want to have him on my team and see how this goes, but I can see myself dropping him and holding on too long in season. So I want to be very careful with him. Logan T. Allen, 4.2 innings, 6 earned runs. This is for Cleveland. And the thing about Cleveland is that we liked that he was on the Guardians because they have this better defense now because they have Kai Correa there. And I hope that is the case. But the fact he went 6 earned runs, 8 hits, maybe the defense wasn't there behind him, makes me feel like I should wait and see, but he could easily be a Vargas role this year. Hunter Green, 3 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Okay, you're probably going to be a cherry bomb this year. The curve and split everyone wanted to talk about, I don't really think is making an impact whatsoever. Kyle Hendricks exists. He still starts for the Cubs. Okay. Logan Gilbert, 4.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. I hope that those strikeouts are a product of those 4-seamers actually being upstairs a ton. He needs to get to his 12% swing strike rate on that 4-seamer. He really does. And the new slider needs to stick around. I hope he can. I don't trust his command, but I hope he can. Merrill Kelly, 3.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Honestly, we're just going to move on because Merrill Kelly is fine. He's fine. He's Merrill Kelly. Okay. Now, the last one is Deal Hall. And I watched this with this live stream. This is why you got to be watching these live streams. Oh, my gosh. Deal Hall, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. So I watched all of it. And my interpretation of Deal Hall, because we didn't have any good video before, and unfortunately didn't have any data because life is dumb, is that Deal Hall was going to bully guys with his 4-seamer upstairs. He was 95-96 with that last year, and he had a 16% plus swing strike rate on that 4-seamer. Then we were going to hope that his slider was going to be better than a 55% strike rate, and that he had this changeup of 65% strike rate last year that was going to be really the glue. What I saw was something like a 92-93 mile per hour fastball, but it was well spotted and didn't bully guys. Like, there was more contact on that 4-seamer than I would like. But the curveball, yeah, this is a pitch he threw like 4% of the time last year, was great. This was old, reliable curveball. He was getting called strikes on this. He was getting whiffs on it. It was the pitch for him in this appearance. He had a changeup that he was locating well. The slider did show up sometimes, kind of hard to differentiate at times between the curve and the slider, but then I started to realize that this big hook thing is the curve and not the slider, because it just wasn't throwing the slider much before. And this is legit. This is like a 4-pitch mix that is well commanded. Like, on that same scale, 1 to 5, 1 being the best command and 5 being the worst, like, he's at least a 3, if not a 2, with DL Hall at the moment. The question, though, is that 4-seamer, is it that good? Was he saving a little bit for this one? Can he bully guys with that? Because it's very flat, and he has a ton of extension. Like, he had last year Zach Wheeler's 4-seamer, which is crazy, right? That's like one of the best 4-seamers in the game. Well, that's really what DL Hall was spotting as a reliever. It was 95-96, the same kind of arm angle, the same kind of extension, and he kept it upstairs. Like, it was there. Now, it's obviously worse right now. So that's the biggest thing about DL Hall. I'm really excited to see data on it in a week, right? Can't wait. Baseball is coming back in 3 days. Oh my gosh. I'm in on DL Hall because I'd rather have this command than the harder velocity as a cherry bomb, right? And I can also imagine that as DL Hall settles in here, he will be able to trust himself with the velocity more, right? As he develops as a starter and stretches out more, he's going to know when he can up his velocity and really overpower with that fastball. It's still there, right? He still has the ability to throw that hard. So I'm excited for that. And I'm buying in on DL Hall. I needed a game like this. I didn't really know what to make of it. And I'm so glad I got him for $2 in my labor draft that Justin Mason tried to trick me and go $1 early in the second round of nominations. And I said $2 and no one else said anything. It was super happy. I love DL Hall. All right. That is it for today. I will be streaming all day on Thursday. That is 1 p.m. Through the night. I will be at playback.tv/pitcherless. I'll be on the homepage of Pitcherless. Come on by. We're going to watch some baseball together. It's going to be the best. And make sure you join for my morning streams, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single day. I'm streaming to 2 o'clock today. So you're going to get more bang for your buck, which is free. It's free. All the bang. $0. but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.